Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gurs.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Grisaia Phantom Trigger, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is based on a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was animated by Bibbury Animation Studios, the studio behind the 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You, and Grisaia Phantom Trigger, the animation, which we covered for this podcast. Grisaia Phantom Trigger currently has a Animalist score of a 6.69, and yes, that is the same as the last thing we covered for this podcast. I had to double check. Grisaia Phantom Trigger is part of the larger Grisaia visual novel franchise from developer Frontwing. The first visual novel, because there's several, came out in 2017, at least in English, and the final one, Volume 8, released in 2022. My synopsis for this is, someone new joins Class A, but do they have what it takes? Artura.
A new student joins Class A and is assigned Chris as her superior. But will she be able to handle being under someone else?
And goes.
Funny girls shoot terrorists with guns, but it's surprisingly philosophical.
Fair. Okay, we are changing things up this episode. Gauze is going to tell us about the show, so take it away, Gauze.
Yeah! So we start with our recap, so condensed that the narrator herself gets confused, right? Yeah, that happened. We open with the new teacher, Arisaka, waking up and like every respectable educator thinking about how her profession sucks and about killing someone. We get the episode title and cut to the Mihama Academy, where some students from Class A are having a morning jog, with newcomers Maki and Megumi literally butting heads. At the same time, the younger students get a stupid bamboo stick lecture from Haruto, a hipster with problematically long blue hair. They are told they will understand the lecture someday. Our taxpayers paid for this.
If they don't die first in the job, that is.
Yes.
What is the most unbreakable weapon? Well, Wolverine's claws. No, Thor's hammer.
What's the most unbreakable weapon? I'm holding a bamboo stick. No, this bamboo stick is actually really easy to break. You'll understand this someday. Don't worry. I don't know what was the point of this. I just woke up this morning and I thought of this lecture. I don't care. I get paid. Okay? I get paid.
I've got to give a lecture to the kids later. What's it going to be? I drank too much last night. I did not think of something. Bamboo spear. Yeah. Unbreakable human spirit. It's fine.
Searches inspirational quotes on Instagram.
He like wakes up in the morning and why the fuck do I have bamboo spear in my room? Oh my god! This is going to be my lecture! Where was I? Next we get introduced to Taiga, who joins the academy, and because she's such a bother, the hipster assigns Sakuraku to be her superior officer.
Well, when just before Taiga's introduced, the headmaster basically says, I want to make this kid fear for her life over the next 3 months.
Oh, I missed that.
Like any good school? Oh, wait, no. We already made that joke with the teacher.
Yeah, I forget the exact wording, but it's like, yeah, she's going to be in Class A. She's going to do all the stuff that Class A does because she's going to fear for her life.
Then we have Taiga being shown around by Sakuraku and taking part in some classes led by older students. I have no idea how the school works if students also lead classes. It's very confusing. Sakuraku demonstrates to a class that a professional bomber is scary because they can blow stuff up. Right?
I'm a bit confused by that lesson. Was the teddy bear the bomb, or was the bomb just not one of those things they were told is a bomb?
Yeah, I think it was something else.
She's like, which of these items contains the bomb? And then when everyone picks, she's like, psych, it's none of them, you idiots, and blows them up.
Yeah, maybe, but like, you also have Taiga who didn't pick a box, so I assume there was a box left over. I don't know.
So maybe she grabbed the box already because she knew that was the bomb and then like chucked it over where we saw the gender reveal explosion.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, it was a gender reveal explosion.
I've never seen that before. Yeah, in a dream sequence, we learned that Taiga's mother was an idiot and couldn't do stuff on her own. So Taiga wants to become someone who can do stuff. She continues pushing herself while Sakurako oversees her. The episode ends when we learn there was an explosion at Kitaoka University where Taiga is attending a lecture. The opening song plays. Da da da, Grisaya, Phantom Trigger. Honey girls shoot terrorists with guns, but it's surprisingly philosophical. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I had.
No, I like the opening credits, both the animation and the song. The animation was really good. It's so episode two now. Okay, yeah. We open with Sakurako having a flashback to her childhood and her mother being killed in an explosion, which motivates her to become an explosives expert.
That was on her birthday.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Well, she says, "Oh, my dad cheated on his wife with my mum, so my mum took me to Japan, and every month my father would come over and see us." And we see her with a present. So it's like, oh, this is her birthday that he's come over to see her for. And that's when both of her parents died in a massive explosion.
Yeah, yeah, very, very uncomfortable. After the opening credits, we learn that the university was bombed by a religious group known as the Fatal Answer. I'm not sure why I noted the name down, because it doesn't come up again. Who are after a painting that contains a virus because the artist painted it with his blood while he had COVID?
They say the virus was kept alive because people had kept restoring the painting using the same blood-in-paint technique, which had been feeding the virus.
I thought they were, like, I don't know how that works.
Science.
I would be interested in a Mythbusters episode. Like
can a virus survive 200 years in blood paint?
Yeah, like
that'd be a really long episode to record.
And like how many like disciples would you have to like, because the paint dries pretty quickly, so like every 2 hours a disciple comes in, it cuts himself and then smears his blood all over the thing to keep the blood fresh. I don't know. We get an overview of the situation, and Taiga's father comes in wanting to bomb the terrorists and hostages because he is a prick. At the same time, the principal's assistant updates Class A on the situation until they realize Sakurako left to rescue Taiga. The hipster goes, "I let her go to the restroom even though it was obvious she was going to do that. We might have to eliminate her now, lols." Just a person who likes to see the word burn, apparently. We catch up with Taiga, who's among the hostages, and then switch to Sakurako, who's already crawling through the vents like Solid Snake while the camera lingers on her ass.
Yeah, what was with that? It's not even sexualizing her, because everything's covered in a pleated skirt. So it's just even more awkward.
It's just realistic video game graphics. When you crawl through a vent, you can't see anything.
Except for Solid Snake's ass.
So you're saying I should download a mod that puts a pleated skirt on him? Good idea.
That probably exists. After another explosion happens, we learn that the task force committee decided to just bomb everything. Because, like, they're all exploding stuff, so we're just going to throw our bombs there too.
They're going to throw a bunker buster.
With 4 hours left until the airstrike, the principal approves Class A to do a rescue mission. After they set out, we cut back to Sakurako's ass still crawling through the vents.
Yep.
they did it twice. The terrorists decide to shoot Taiga, and Sakurako starts blowing stuff up and killing people. The hostages escape, and the episode ends with injured Sakurako and Taiga being pinned down. No end credits. The episode 3 opens with Class A getting in position, commencing the rescue mission. Everyone is here. The sniper, the gunner, the infiltrator, and the hipster with a katana jumping on the roof from a helicopter that everyone can see.
And only two people come out to attack him.
It's like, it's a miracle he wasn't shot down before the helicopter got close. A lot of wicked cool action happens with some misuse of grenades and pervert talk on comms as they look for the terrorist leader.
Sorry, you can't gloss over it that much. The smoke grenade not being used the way it's intended. And then Haruto does the same thing.
Except he doesn't pull the pin.
Yeah.
He just it's like a throwing weapon, chucks it.
And the ninja says, pull the pin first. I'm sure even Rina knows that.
That was honestly the best scene. I really like that they did it in that order specifically, because it wouldn't have been as funny if it had shown Rina second. You just see Rina screwing it up, and you're like, well, how can you be that much of an idiot? And then someone manages to surpass her somehow.
I mean, he did bring a sword to a gunfight.
And a smoke grenade.
And he jumped off a helicopter. Okay, I get what you're saying.
I wonder if his grenade was a smoke grenade also, or was it a frag grenade? Like, did it look the same? I would have to go back and check.
Yeah.
Because if it was a frag grenade, that would make it even better. Like, here, have this explosive. I'm just going to use it as a baseball. We cut back to Taiga fighting off terrorists when the hipster with a katana and his companion, the terminally relaxed ninja, save her. Yeah, she looks like she got a bunch of relaxants and just is really mellow all the time.
Yeah, her voice is always level and kind of bored.
Kind of like yours.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm super excited all the time.
Yeah.
Well, be careful with how much emotion you're showing. You might shock our viewers.
Yeah, you should tone it down.
Sorry.
More radical action happens. Terrorists all get killed. Hostages escape the compound. The airstrike is called off. That was one sentence I read it completely wrong. Moving on. In the aftermath, Taiga and Sakurako get medical treatment, and Taiga takes over Sakurako's duties while she recovers from surgery. Taiga reflects on getting stronger, while Sakurako reflects on protecting someone. Maybe that was too condensed, I don't know. That's the end. We're done.
We don't want to take views away from the actual show. You should go and watch it if this has piqued your interest, as I said. And you did miss out the next episode spot in the final episode, in the third episode, has some unexpected nudity. So, was it a good adaptation?
Wait, sorry. I just realized I had forgotten this about the recap, but there's also unexpected nudity of food. That's all I want to say.
The food is nude?
You didn't see the food porn message? They showed up, I believe they showed ramen, and then there's a sticker in the bottom right that says food porn. And I was like, oh my god, it's unexpected nudity.
I completely glossed over that.
Yeah, I missed it.
So, was it a good adaptation?
Probably.
I'll save you some time. It follows the plot of Grisaia Phantom Trigger Volume 4, and from what we saw in the next episode bit, the next few episodes are probably going to be based on Grisaia Phantom Trigger Volume 5, which makes sense because Grisaia Phantom Trigger, the animation that we watched last time, was the first two volumes. The movie that we didn't watch is Volume 3, so yeah, this. It seems to be adapting the game directly, which is fine.
Especially because, considering Grisaia Phantom Trigger, the game, is kinetic visual novel, there's not really much for them to not go off of. If they went too far off script, it would just be very weird. Because at least in other OVAs and anime, if they kind of like adapt a video game, it doesn't matter how much. Well, I mean, it does matter, but sometimes they can veer from the story a little bit. But in this case, the only thing they can adapt is the story because there's not even branching narratives.
So, based on the first three episodes, is a Yata a Nani or a Baka, Arturo?
For me, it was definitely a Yata. The scene of the frag grenades is hilarious, and it's just more of the first Grisaia Phantom Trigger that made me buy the games. So I'm just thrilled that this exists.
And goes?
Yeah, I thought it was a Yata. It was really good. The animation was great. And yeah, all the story characterization, voice acting, like no complaints there.
My one complaint about the animation is it's all in bordered widescreen. But that's a personal thing. I don't like that. Why are you taking away my screen?
Oh, yeah. It's especially annoying when you actually have an ultra wide and it's like you could just use that extra black screen space. But no.
But for me, it was a Yata. Something I really liked was the voiceover for the next episode bits, just completely unrelated to what we're seeing. They were quite funny. So will you keep watching it?
No. Not because I don't like it. I love it. But it's just that I want to play the games first so that when I'm watching it, I mean, because I feel like it's backwards if you watch the anime and then play the game. So that's why I'm going to have to not watch it anymore.
Fair?
Yeah, I might. I really liked it. And I don't plan to play the games, so...
If it gets a dub, I'll definitely check it out. If not, then maybe... But yes, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Make sure you check out Grisaia Phantom Trigger wherever you get your animes. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Gus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.